When America was attacked on 9/11, commentators immediately announced that life in America would never be the same. Perhaps that's true in some ways, but less than 10 years later, we are seeing human activities that we saw before. We are hearing the same philosophies that we have heard for years. People tend to forget, don't they? People are anxious to get on with their lives. If 6 weeks seemed like a long preparation time before Easter, 6 Sundays of Easter celebration afterwards seems even longer. What more can be said? Don't we have some other holiday to look forward to? But that was not how Jesus' apostles felt about it. They were slow to believe that Jesus had risen, but they were slower to let go of the resurrection, even when facing persecution and death. We're still in Luke 24, selected verses. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see." They still did not believe it because of joy and amazement. He ate in their presence. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, "This is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." In Jesus' name, beloved of God, it is a great blessing that God has let us see the disciples on that first glorious Easter day, still cowering in the corner, barricaded behind bolted doors. Where was their joyous courage? Where were their Easter hymns? They were huddling in hiding, fearful of the Jews. And when Jesus came, they were afraid of him too. On the one hand, they might have had reason. They knew that just 3 days ago they had forsaken him, denied him, deserted him. Would he still call them friends? On the other hand, they knew that they had not opened any door, and there he stood. Was he an evil spirit? Could they trust their eyes? Are we sometimes like those disciples? We have heard more testimony by far than they heard. Many court cases today are decided on less testimony from less credible witnesses than we have for the resurrection. But do we still crawl into a corner at times, hiding for fear of this enemy or that, or of this misfortune and that? Would we be frightened? Would we shake in our shoes if he stood among us today? After all, how often haven't we deserted him, denied him, acted as though we didn't know him? How often haven't we forgotten to number our days, acted as though the material things of this life were all there are? How often haven't we mimicked the unbelieving world and acted as though we had little or no need of Christ, that he had nothing to give us and only came to take from us that delicious fruit in the middle of the garden? And how often have we, by our words and actions, given this warped picture of Christ to others? We have reason to cower behind closed doors too, don't we, when we look at the state of our own lives, at the lack of growth in spiritual things, things that have to do with our relationship to God, who is Spirit. But see how graciously the risen Lord comes to his disciples, even when they are frightened and unfruitful in their hearing of the angels' Easter tidings. See how patiently he shows them that it is not their imagination, that he is not just a spirit, that he is truly risen bodily from death. He shows his hands and his feet with the wounds to identify himself. He has them touch him. He eats in their presence. And so he also comes to us, not in a flaming angel, but friendly, patient, forgiving. He shows himself to us in his word. He invites us to come to him. He will give us rest. He invites us to repent of our sins, to believe on him in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Truly, in the presence of such grace, such friendliness, we can afford to admit that we have done wrong. Yes, to repent. Of course, even the heathen admit they've done wrong and then blame it on someone else or something else. The woman you gave to be with me. But now we confess our sinfulness, and we confess that because of it we deserve nothing but punishment. Now we're able to stand before God because of Jesus' doings, and only because of his doings on our behalf. First offenses merit no mercy. Lots of company earn no compassion. Doing our best is not good enough. Good intentions will not cover iniquity. Stabbing at the sins of others, even to the point of drawing blood, will not justify us. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Repentance and forgiveness are to be proclaimed in our risen Savior's name. And this is what will also open our understanding of the Scriptures, to grasp that God forgives us all because of Jesus, that we are his own dear children through Christ, that even death cannot separate us from the love of God in him. Understanding the Scriptures does not mean finding Osama bin Laden in the Bible. It means finding Christ. Not only has Christ risen from the dead, but he has opened for us the way to God and eternal life, has given us the victory over death and over every trouble in life through repentance and forgiveness in his name. Stanzas 5 and 8. Amen.